that's where that note was inspired from. Or, you know, it's like, we want to buy, you know, the best in breed technology, but we have nobody on staff who knows how to use it. Right. So it really is important to get those foundations right, which is, are you collecting clean data? Are you collecting first party data? Are you doing so in a consent and privacy friendly way? Right. Are you doing so consistently? And are you collecting it in a way that, even if you're not doing it today, are you collecting it in a way that if 6 months down the road you want to integrate this data somewhere else, you're not going to be caught at a red light saying, oh shit, we really screwed that up, right? We didn't collect this data in a way that was, you know, platform agnostic. We didn't collect it in a way or in a location that it can be shared with, you know, other data system with ad tech. We have no way of utilizing this data. We don't even know if it's clean, reliable, up to date, right? So that's what I mean by getting the foundations right. It's like, take some time to kind of put in place processes and skills that get you like really clean data, consistently collected, that does respect your customers, you know, privacy and data security concerns. Take it seriously. Don't be just chasing, you know, privacy regulations, you know, to like figure out a way to be ahead of all of that, because your consumers deserve that. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that I consider foundational that would be more impactful short term than, you know, going after every shiny object.
Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello and good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Daud, or good evening in your neck of the woods.
Oh yeah,
good to see you.
It is good to see you as well. It is good evening here. How is everything?
Things are going well. We're well into fall here, and I expect the snow to be flying anytime now. So we'll see.
Oh, nice. I mean, snow will not be the only thing that will be flying, but you know. I was just catching up with the news, and I think that, you know, next episode will have such an important topic that is, you know, no less important than today's topic, with AI and stuff like going on and OpenAI and,
yeah, big shakeups there over the last week, huh? some big leadership changes, and
this podcast episode will not hit the markets, you know, and it like soon, but it will be relevant. But AI is always relevant, but today we're not about AI, but rather we are about digital maturity. And I would like I would like to do like a flashback to the first episode when, or like the second episode, we were joking about, you know, more tech tools equals digital transformation. And we were saying like, yeah, sure, more tech tools equal digital transformation, which is, you know, it's a running joke between us and the digital disruption podcast. But for sure, it translates into other areas, which is, you know, more tech does not equal neither digital transformation and neither digital maturity, and especially digital maturity, because you have, it is the basis and the building blocks for digital transformation. So I think we alluded in a past episode about, we talked about digital maturity, and we gave it like the introduction, and we talked about digital maturity, but I don't think we fully pointed out how and why digital maturity is important. Like, we know it's important. It's like, you know, as humans, we need to breathe, we need to eat, we need, you know, to do all these things. But for businesses, and especially businesses that want to keep up, say again, yeah, want to keep up with the regulations that is popping up left and right, with the changes that AI introduces every day, to be honest. At this time, it's every day. We haven't dive deep into why digital maturity is important, and why should we, you know, as a business and a business leader, you should definitely be having a special someone, or like have it people just focusing on it. So I would leave this with you, because, you know, it's important that we highlight everything when it comes to digital maturity and why is it important. So why is digital maturity is important?
Well, I mean, as we've talked, you know, in a couple of past episodes, you know, around the way digital transformation as a journey increases your digital maturity as an organization. Why is that important? We're talking about your capabilities to deliver more seamless experiences, to do the kinds of personalization and recommendations that consumers are increasingly experiencing, but also that they've come, now they're expecting to experience those things, right? So being able to deliver on that is really important. Being able to measure the impact of your media as granularly as possible, being able to target the right audiences as granularly as possible, right? And across as much media as possible, being able to orchestrate data centrally and as close to real time as possible is really important. So these are all, I'm just kind of listing out a set of capabilities, right, that an organization might want to have. And I think that all of those capabilities do involve some level of technology, no doubt about it. But I think the key adjective there, or the key, I guess, the key word there is capability, not technology, right? So it's having the capability that's important. And in order to do that, there's kind of a triangle of factors involved, which is, and technology is just one corner of that triangle, right? So,
you know, what are the other two angles, corners?
I guess corners isn't the right word either.
Yeah, I'm saying, like,
other point of the triangle.
The other 2 points, yeah.
Yeah, those would be your business use cases. So, you know, what actual scenarios does that technology support, right, that are strategically aligned to your business and the kinds of things you're trying to accomplish, the way you're trying to position your brand, the overall experiences you're trying to deliver, et cetera. And then the other is the having the roles and skills, you know, that can utilize the technology, can design the use cases and execute those use cases, right? So all three of those go together: the technology, the use cases, and the skills and roles to execute. And with any one of those missing, you're not going to get the most out of that technology, right? So, and you're certainly, it's certainly not going to qualify as a digitally mature kind of a state, right? If you can't actually execute on that vision. And when, you know, having those roles and skills, I guess one of the more strategic skills here is when you're laying out this roadmap or journey is just, you know, is deciding what kind of operating model you want. You know, are you trying to do this all in-house? Are you, do you have a stable of kind of niche boutique agencies that are very skilled in, you know, particular areas of digital marketing and digital experience, and they're each, you know, all together helping you deliver that? Or are you doing, you know, some hybrid type of a model where it's, you know, some of your key aspects of your, you know, marketing and customer engagement are in-house, but you supplement that with an agency? Or do you have more of a, you know, full service agency of record that you're working with, and you help set the overall objectives and targets, but they execute and devise the media strategy and the media planning, right? So there's and other aspects of your digital. So there's a lot of different business models that can work, but they all require somewhere in your operations, you need to have those three points of that triangle covered. So if you're working with an agency if you put all your eggs in the agency basket, you better be working with a competent agency with the skills on staff to deliver, right? If you are leveraging a tech partner to do your data orchestration and data integration with the rest of your ad tech and more tech, these are all kind of key areas of your business. And so you need to make sure that you have all the coverage on the skill side of things. And I've, you know, just in experience, some companies are really, really good at executing when there's a plan in place. But as a company, you need to give really clear guidance around your kind of strategic vision, your business objectives and marketing objectives. And once that's in place, there are some partners who can really execute really strongly against that. And then there are some, you know, really, you know, excellent agencies out there who, you know, can deliver us, from top down or bottom up across that whole spectrum of, you know, digital strategy, digital experience, creative, media planning, media buying. So it really just depends what kind of a operating model you want to have.
Okay, so I would like to ask a question, because you said that, you know, you should have a vision, whether you work with an external partner or an agency, or you do the things in-house. But my question would be, you know, with the digital maturity being one of the key frames that you build the vision with, does the vision stay the same? As long as you go, like, does it sit in stone? I know the answer would be no, but how does the, you know, the vision change? Because, you know, digital transformation is all about incremental incremental changes and incremental improvement. Mm-hmm. So that also includes the vision. And because, like, also the digital maturity has four phases, which we talked about in a past episode. So, you know, how does everything fit together if everything is also moving at the same time?
No, it's a really good question. I think for sure, any plans you make at the strategic level, so your digital strategy, related to, say, media or a digital transformation roadmap, from a more holistic sense, right? Of, you know, all of your MarTech and data infrastructure and ad tech. No, those things need to be nimble, right? It's the, I think things that don't, that shouldn't change like with the wind are certainly like your fundamental sort of like brand positioning, right? Your brand personality that you've developed, right? All of these things that you invest a lot of time, effort, and potentially money into, and that tend to, you know, that the baseline of your brand equity, as long as you're doing things right, it tends to increase over time and you get a bigger and bigger footprint, right? As long as you're supporting that with sort of good brand campaigns and good messaging and, you know, a solid sort of a consistent footprint. Those things should, you know, you really don't want that to be changing all the time. On the other hand, the strategies that you use to, you know, kind of deliver on that brand promise, those things need to be flexible for sure, because as you know, right, the data landscape changes, you know, by the week sometimes, right, in terms of what cookies, you know, third-party cookies have been supposed to be deprecated now for, you know, a year and a half. That timeline keeps shifting, but we know it's going to happen at some point. We just don't know exactly when. So a cookie-less, you know, future, a data signal challenged now, right? Like people are challenged for data signals already due to the ATT framework, you know, the whole iOS realm, ITP and ETP in the browser world, right? All of these things have fundamentally changed how measurement happens, how targeting can happen. And it's only getting, you know, a bit more challenging in some ways, right? Again, we've talked about this in past episodes, but, you know, just even just the world changes around you if you stand still. So the ability to deliver the kinds of experiences customers expect, and to the ability to connect all of the different touch points that you might have with a customer, from your digital advertising to your call center chat, customer support chat, right? Your customer engagement channels, so your SMS, push, email, right? All of these things, they impact one another. So if you're... if people have great experience with your product, but every time they order from you, they have a problem, and every time they have a problem, you don't solve it well through your service center, right? Then they also start getting annoyed when you start sending promotional emails and promotional messages, right? If they just had a terrible experience with you and now you're sending them, you know, hey, like, you know, come shop with us, right? All of these things play together. So, and people becoming more savvy about what they expect. And we, you know, in the retail and e-commerce sector, right, there are some brands that have maintained this kind of, you know, full price, non-promotional kind of model, but very few, right? Most e-commerce companies, like, I mean, everybody's done a fantastic job training people to, like, wait until you see the pop-up, sign up, you know, enter your email address and your phone number so you get 10 to 15% off your first order, and abandon something in your cart and you might get an offer, right? Go search online and find a coupon, right? So, like, those are things that kind of all e-commerce players, like, right, even if you don't want to do that yourself, that doesn't mean that that's not a context for shoppers all around you, right? So, and if your own digital strategy, your promotional and pricing schemes, your the way you message, the way you market, if you're not taking account of that bigger picture, then there's probably something incomplete about your digital strategy. And those things, and again, to your earlier point, sorry to loop back here, that context in which we do business always changes. So therefore our strategies need to also change, right? I mean, I remember reading an article about customer data strategies, you know, like most companies, they're 5 years old or more. What does that mean? Well, that means your customer data strategy is stale and out of date, right? And if you apply that to your data orchestration, and if you apply that to your media planning, like if you have a media plan, if you have a media planning strategy that's 5 years old and you haven't updated it, you're not accounting for a massive amount of change that's happened across digital advertising. So
I would ask also, speaking of like the bigger picture, like we use Google's digital maturity framework, which has four levels: nascent, emerging, connected, and multi-moment. And touching on this, like the last thing you said, which is updating always the plan and the media plan that you have in mind. Does digital transformation has an end goal of moving, let's say, from nascent to multi-moment, from 1 to 4, or like getting more ROI, like we talked in the last episode, or both, or neither? Like, what does a vision has at the end of the road, at the end of the tunnel? What's the goal that your vision is aiming at? And does it differ? Like, what does it differ based on?
Yeah, I think the goal ultimately has to be tied to some business objectives. Like within the business context, there are some institutions where ROI, maybe like public institutions, that would still benefit from digital transformation just because it would make things more efficient or better experience for users. But there's not necessarily a profit motive, though it could be like an efficiency motive. But let's say for businesses trying to make money, trying to be profitable, there definitely should be some, financial component to the goals of digital transformation. That said, maybe from the CFO's perspective, they're central, but from the standpoint of what digital maturity and digital transformation are at their core, they're more of a, right, like increasing profitability or right growing revenue or increasing efficiency. The financial impact is really kind of an artifact of successfully executing the vision, right? The vision is about, if you're automating, like if you have a really manual process that you're automating, you're trying to take some rote repetitive task, right, out of a person's hand and automate that task and let that person do higher value work, right? If you're trying to make it more if you're trying to more effectively target specific addressable audiences, right, then what you're really trying to do is leverage the power of segmentation, make more relevant messaging, more refined targeted messaging, right, going after high value prospects and customers, right, in different ways, right? So segmenting your targeting and your messaging and your offer strategy, all of those things, right, to treat different audiences differently, treat different areas of the funnel and customer lifecycle differently, right? And so the financial impact of those things is an after effect, though it's key. Better data orchestration, right? If you're trying to transform your data infrastructure to do better data orchestration, better integration of real-time data, right? You're ultimately improving things like customer experience, in the area of personalization, recommendation, customer engagement, messaging. So profitability, the reason why profitability matters or cost savings and things like that is because, ultimately some stakeholder who's signing to approve these initiatives, right? Like that is ultimately what this is going to be measured by, especially if you're working for a publicly traded company, that definitely will be the measure of success at the end of the day, ultimately. Did you grow revenue? Did you grow profitability? Did you create a bigger dividend for your shareholders? Did you create bonuses for executives who are on a bonus structure, right? Those are going to be the things that are going to matter. But the dirty secret is, like, no digital transformation, no digital maturity initiative, like, it produces those as an effect of being successful at executing what you actually laid out as an objective, which is creating more efficiency, delivering better experience, more effective and efficient media executions, all of those things.
I would go to a question that actually was based on a note that you gave me. When we started the podcast, which said, take care of foundational priorities before you get too excited about digital transformation. And I would definitely want to ask, like, is digital maturity a foundation, or like, what could be considered as a foundation that, you know, we should be taking care of first?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there are aspects of, there are certain pieces of digital maturity that I would consider sort of foundational. I think that note was sort of a nod at, there are some people who, you know, want to, like, they want to have a team in their own company, like, you know, creating AI applications, you know, not just using embedded AI, which is part of every ad tech now, right? Like, they actually want to, you know, they have somebody, you know, at the VP or SVP level who thinks they should be creating AI, you know, applications, right? But they haven't even, like, they don't even have a process for ensuring that their campaigns are tagged correctly. Like, they don't even have a centralized measurement framework or a shared taxonomy for behavioral and media measurement. And yet they want to be at the bleeding edge of AI and ML, you know, technology. That's where that note was inspired from. Or, you know, it's like, we want to buy, you know, the best in breed technology, but we have nobody on staff who knows how to use it, right? So it really is important to get those foundations right, which is, are you collecting clean data? Are you collecting first party data? Are you doing so in a consent and privacy friendly way, right? Are you doing so consistently? And are you collecting it in a way that, even if you're not doing it today, are you collecting it in a way that if 6 months down the road you want to integrate this data somewhere else, you're not going to be caught at a red light saying, oh shit, we really screwed that up, right? We didn't collect this data in a way that was, you know, platform agnostic. We didn't collect it in a way or in a location that it can be shared with, you know, other data system with ad tech. We have no way of utilizing this data. We don't even know if it's clean, reliable, up to date, right? So that's what I mean by getting the foundations right. It's like, take some time to kind of put in place processes and skills that get you, like, really clean data, consistently collected, that does respect your customers', you know, privacy and data security concerns. Take it seriously. Don't be just chasing, you know, privacy regulations, you know, to, like, figure out a way to be ahead of all of that, because your consumers deserve that. You know, there's a whole bunch of things that I consider foundational that would be more impactful short term than, you know, going after every shiny object.
What are the things that you consider foundational for digital transformation?
clean, consistent data collection that is centralized, that includes first party data. So utilizing a a first party identifier as your core identity space. Now there's a whole bunch of, we'll talk about this in a future episode about how you can bring first party data collection further up the funnel. You don't have to wait until somebody, you know, is a customer or is, you know, ready to pull the trigger and wants a 15% discount. You know, you don't have to wait that long to collect first party data if you are creative. You know, having centralized data within your organization. I mean, if you look at companies that have, if you have companies that do three or more, you know, marketing channels in-house, invariably, except for the very, very good, the ones that have a very, very good process, you'll have three or four different ways of naming campaigns, tagging campaigns. You know, you'll oftentimes, you know, zero sort of centralized taxonomy, centralized, you know, measurement frameworks. That doesn't mean those companies can't execute good marketing. Of course they can, but it makes it much more challenging to centralize it. It makes it really hard to do things holistically. It makes it really hard to orchestrate data effectively because you don't have a shared syntax. You don't have a shared schema for data, you know, campaign information, audience information, just, you know, kind of your measurement taxonomies, your KPIs, your data dictionaries, right? If that's not all centralized and very clean and consistent, it's just, it's really hard to scale that type of stuff. So to me, those are really important. It's getting like those, right, the data foundations. I don't know if I've said this before, but I if I haven't, I should have. To me, data maturity and digital maturity go hand in hand, right? They're not synonyms, but they're so tightly related, right? In order to be a digitally mature enterprise today, you must be a data mature enterprise. Absolutely.
I don't think we talked about data maturity before.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the pillars we talked about of digital transformation, but I don't know if we've emphasized how important.
Yeah, data maturity, no. We talked about it in the four pillars. Whenever we mentioned them, it's a part of the four pillars, but we never talked about how important data maturity is. And sometimes I feel like, you know, especially in digital transformation, that some things are just too obvious that you need to emphasize on. And sometimes it flows under the radar and just like, not everyone is accustomed or like he does know that we should be focusing on this one or this thing, and it's a part of a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this what makes digital transformation a little bit challenging, because it ain't a monolithic thing. It's not a one block of things. As I said, it's a bunch of moving parts that, you know, play around together, and you have to figure out, it's a self scrambling puzzle that, you know, you have to be on top of.
Yeah, no, I think that's why it's really important to develop a really clear headed assessment of your own organization and the business objectives you're trying to support. And then to have a roadmap that prioritizes projects that will be most impactful at getting you from where you are today to where you need to or want to be, right? I mean, I think that's why there's definitely no one size fits all by any means, right? There's so much tech. I think the latest Scott Brinker at, you know, MarTech landscape, I don't know how many, you know, it's probably up to 11,000 different technology solutions or something like that. I don't, you know, in the, it's a lot. don't quote me on that number, but it's a lot. You know, it's multiple thousands of different platforms. And so different companies have different technology commitments. You know, some people are just devotedly Adobe shops. Some people are devotedly Google shops. Some people are like way into the fringes of 100% composability, right? Trying to bring together best in breed across all technology, and then, you know, have really smart creative developers tie it all together. So there's a whole spectrum of both business and technology decisions that kind of define what a digital transformation landscape looks like for a particular company.
True that. And, you know, speaking of technologies and stuff like that, next episode, since we're done with this one, we'll talk about AI and how does it intermingle with digital transformation? Does it put people out of business? Does it put people into business? How do you deal with AI? Like, you're dealing with, let's say, GDPR or data privacy regulations that, you know, it pops up every day now, you know, and will be always developing. And AI, once it's introduced into the mix, business mix, life mix, it is never going away.
It's already here,
and it's here to stay. You know, like, it's not like something that you'll figure out, like you'll forget about in a couple of weeks. You know, it's here. It's here to stay. AI has been a part of our life for, like, the better of like 10 years. But it was always algorithms and things that you have no access to, and it's not publicly shared. SEO, social media algorithms and stuff like that. And now, you know, you have an AI that you can just go talk to.
I know. I think that's the one. I think this is area that's really going to be up in the air. It'll be fun to talk about next time. I'll do a little bit of research as well, just to be as up to speed on the most timely developments, but is on the generative side, because there's a whole bunch of legal and ethical questions that people are asking, and I think they're legitimately asking them. And I think the leadership shakeups we're seeing reflect that as well. So it'd be interesting. Let's start with the ethics and social implications of AI next time, and go from there.
Well, that sounds good. All right. Can't wait until we meet for next time.
Yeah,
that is it for us today. Thank you so much for listening to the Digital Disruption Podcast.
Thanks for the great questions, as always, Daud. Good conversation. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.